From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Before humans came to Idaho, animals migrated across the state without barriers like fences or roads or barbed wire. Well, we have played havoc with how wildlife tries to get where it needs to go. However, that's now changing as we've realized how much of an impact humans have had, and we've started trying to mitigate those impacts, which includes special fencing that mimics historical migration routes and wildlife bridges that have been built over highways. A new episode of Outdoor Idaho focuses on how we're helping animals move safely around humans. It's called Right of Way, and Outdoor Idaho producer Chris Milgate is here to talk more about it. Chris, nice to have you on the show.
Thanks, Gemma. Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, can we just start with the problem itself? What are some of the barriers that we have put in place that hurts animal migration?
When you're talking about barriers on the landscape, it's all across the West, but you'll see it here in Idaho too. And that would be things like fences, barbed wire fences. We have miles and miles of barbed wire that keep cattle contained, but it also restricts wildlife and their movement. And when they migrate for a very good reason, and that's to survive. So if they can't move past a fence, that screws up their survival. Another one is roads. We have places to go. We use roads to get there. Animals now have to cross those roads too. And that's a challenge. Those two things are big game. Then for fish, there's things like diversions in the river, culverts in ditches that divert water in different directions that cut off migration routes for fish. And when you're talking about birds, you're looking at things like power lines. Those are in the way too. So we have all these things on the landscape that we need that wildlife doesn't necessarily need.
So what are some of the things that we're doing right? We've done some stories on wildlife bridges actually being built over highways. We've talked about that on the show. But talk about what you have found in Idaho that is working.
When we look at how we use the landscape, most of what's on the landscape that is working works for us. And those things will stay. Power lines will stay. Roads stay. Fences stay. Diversions and culverts in the rivers. Those things stay. So what we've figured out is how to make those things manageable for animals because they have to stay for us. So we do these little tweaks, things like wildlife crossings. Idaho's first wildlife overpass is now in use near Boise. And the animals started using that overpass over the highway, I mean, just as soon as it was done. So they figure out how to cross things when we make them have the ability to make their way. We put tags on barbed wire fencing. If you put a white tag on the top strand of wire on a fence, it flaps in the wind. And we all know we have a lot of wind here in Idaho. When that flaps in the wind, a bird can see that and will navigate away from hitting the fence because they see it before they run into it. We also change gradient levels and fix river areas where fish need passage so that they can pass if there's going to have to be a culvert. And power lines have the same tagging as fencing. We can also change the fencing. We can we can make the top strand less barbed so animals can jump over it.
So what other migration solutions, when you put this program together, that you looked at that you thought, you know what, Idaho could do this?
Well, the first thing that I looked at that Idaho could do that we were not doing was an overpass. Idaho didn't have those, and a lot of other states in the West already have those. And those look like massive bridges over the interstates that animals can cross. So they don't have pavement on the top. They usually have dirt, maybe some grass, and it funnels animals to an area where they can cross for their spring and fall migration. And it crosses them above the traffic or underneath the traffic instead of through the traffic. We now have our first overpass. We have had underpasses for a long time. But our overpass is new, and that's been really neat to see how that's been used in the last few months since it opened just last fall. Things like tagging, that we've been doing that for a few years, but that overpass, that was new, and I was really excited to see that completed during the production.
So with that said about this highway crossing, how cost effective is it? I mean, there's just the one. It's opened. It seems to be working and doing its job. But can this be cost prohibitive?
I think the biggest challenge with having overpasses start showing up in our state is that it's hard for people to understand the justification for the cost. And that it's, they cost millions and millions, but there is a lot of federal money right now for infrastructure. And that makes a big difference when you're trying to build something like this. We haven't had one before. Other states had them before us. There's a reason for that. And a lot of our roads aren't in condition that people really want to take pride in. We have a lot of terrible areas that have bad winters and the roads don't look that great and they don't drive that great. So why do we have money for an overpass? Well, when you take the whole state and you look at the statistics of where animals are moving versus where animals are getting hit, where this new overpass is going near Boise over by Lucky Peak Reservoir is a high collision area for wildlife. So you take the migration corridor, you put the wildlife statistics on top of it for how many animals get hit, and that's a hot zone. And yeah, maybe the overpass is going to cost a few million to build, but it's being used, and how much is it going to save us in wildlife vehicle collisions, which also cost us millions?
You know, part of the issue is that we have just continued to build into wildlife spaces. So especially in particular, I think maybe for folks who have moved into the area recently and may not kind of, you know that so many of the places where they're moving into used to be wildlife space just 10, 20 years ago. So Chris, how important are these solutions?
Idaho's growth is astounding, frankly. We have a lot of people here and we have a lot of building going on, and we are pushing animals around and we are making them find other ways to go. But they start running out of places to go. And when there's a really harsh winter, like we had two winters ago, we're going to notice the problem because animals run out of places to go in the winter and they lose their winter range for food. And then they have nowhere else to go but your backyard, and maybe you don't want them in your backyard. So there's all these conflict points that come in, and those conflicts increase as the population grows and development spreads out. The thing to know now is that now that we know where these migration corridors are in the state of Idaho, we can be a little bit more conscientious about where we decide to develop and where we decide to put things. Things that are already here, like roads, they're not going to move. But if we can figure out maybe this subdivision isn't the best spot over here, maybe it needs to be over there. If we can figure out how to let the animals make their way without always being in their way, they have a better chance of surviving. And the reality is a lot of people are moving here because of the natural resources. They want to see wildland and they want to see wildlife. So they have to give in a little bit. If they want those things, we've got to make room for those things in order for them to coexist.
How do we know if these solutions are working?
When Survey Pass went in just outside of Boise last fall, I called Fish and Game and I said, I really want to know if this is going to work. I put this in this show and people are going to want to know if it's working. And it was as simple as putting up trail cameras. So you could see the animals running over the overpass with traffic below it. That's a lot of cars avoiding hitting an animal. That's really valuable visual proof for people if they can see the animals. And you use a trail cam for that, because a lot of times when you're driving under that overpass or driving over an underpass, you have no idea how many animals are under your tires or over the roof of your car. But if you can put something out that shows people it's working, that's a tangible thing visually. And then eventually there'll be statistics that will show that the number of wildlife vehicle accidents should go down in those areas. But where it's so new, it's going to take a bit for those numbers to come in. But visually showing people animals crossing, and I'm talking herds of animals, deer, elk, moose, bear, mountain goats, bighorn sheep, everything's going to move across these overpasses, and it will show up on something as simple as a trail cam at first. Then the statistics will come into play down the road.
So, Chris, when can folks see the show?
Outdoor Idaho's new episode, Right of Way, airs Thursday night on Idaho Public Television and then re-airs again on Sunday. It's 8 o'clock Thursday and 7 o'clock on Sunday, and then it goes online. And it's full of things from across our whole state, and it shows you how we are figuring out a way to let animals have right of way.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for the conversation and really talking about the necessity for all of this when we talk about animal migration. So thanks so much for taking time for us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Outdoor Idaho producer Chris Milgate about a new episode of Outdoor Idaho. It's called Right of Way, and it's about wildlife migration solutions here in Idaho. As Chris said, it premieres Thursday night on Idaho Public Television. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.